our God and Father. Thank you for this Christmas season. Thank you for the good news, the great joy, the love song that came that Christmas morning. Thank you that your love was not just a distant feeling, but you took on a bodily form, that you proved your love for us by coming to be among us. Lord, as we approach this day that we celebrate your birth, we celebrate the day that you broke into history and stepped into our lives. Lord, may we see the beauty of it. May we see that it is far beyond. It is the glory in the highest. There is nothing more glorious than this, that you came to save us. We pray this in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Oh, it was Christmas at Grace Baptist, and they celebrated Advent, but there were people in the church who had no clue what that meant. So the pastor decided to include it in the sermon so people in the church would have an opportunity for learning about wreaths and about candles and the symbols that they use. So that way, everybody there had the opportunity to choose whether these things were a distraction that stood in the way or if they were an attraction to joy on that day. So listen real close as we discuss these symbols about the child born in Bethlehem, who was born to die on a cross for us, you, me, and them. And listen very close as we discuss each theme of hope, love, peace, joy, and what each candle means. It is Advent season here. It is Christmas. Where did the year go? Wow, how did we get here? This time is known as Advent, and these candles are something that are very significant. Some churches actually take a week, and each candle carry out that theme throughout the message. Each one is significant and deserves that, but what it all points to is the greatest gift. It's the greatest gift that these candles point to. All the symbols that we have here, the chrismons, the wreath, the candles, the decorations. Advent is a time of reflection in anticipation of the weeks leading up to Christmas. The word Advent actually comes from the Latin word adventus, which means coming. The very fact that God came and dwelt among us. That's the whole focus of this. And it does deserve our focus, not just in December, the whole year round. The Advent season symbolizes both the waiting for the birth of Christ and his return, because we are in the already and not yet. He already came once, but he has not yet come the second time. We look back to the first time he came, and that gives us hope for the joy that is before us for the second time he will come. During this time, we do have this popular tradition of the Advent candle and the wreath. No, you will not find this in Scripture. This is not an ordinance of the church. This is merely a tradition. Much like Christmas carols, much like everything else that we do, we have traditions that help us to remember things. And Advent has four candles, one lit each Sunday of the 4 weeks of Advent. Each candle represents a new focus and a time of reflection, starting off with hope. We started off with a candle of hope, where we are looking forward. That first Christmas started off with hope. They were hoping for a Messiah. If we look at Isaiah 9, starting in verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Say what you want about a human government. Doesn't matter who's in office. It's not going to compare to that hope. We look forward in hope. Because you could place your hope in government, but even the best human being is not beyond corruption. You could put your hope in scientific or medical advances, but those are still going to be thwarted and limited by our human finiteness and biases. And you could put your hope in power, prestige, money, but the problem is that economies, no matter what they are based on, will ultimately fail. The wealthy know that financial stability cannot bring true happiness. Governments falter, humans fail, and economies fall. So what hope do we have? Well, much like the prophets of old, we look forward to a deliverer. We hope for a Messiah, one who will rescue us from the sin, the twistedness, the brokenness in our world. We anticipate the Savior's arrival. Now, sometimes we Christians confuse this word hope for wishful thinking. That's the idea of my kids hoping they get everything that they circled in the catalog for Christmas. Nope, that's wishful thinking. It's not happening. For us, it is very different. It is not a hope-so hope. It's a no-so hope. It's a hope that is based on a faithful God who has stayed true to his word and has promised us deliverance and freedom. He is true to his word. We know that it'll happen. It's not under our control. Hope in the Bible exists as a secure assurance, a trust placed in a trustworthy God. God has not failed us in the past. He will not fail us in the future. He is still the faithful, covenant-keeping God. He always has been. Hope waits and endures. It isn't flimsy or merely wishful thinking. It can withstand fire, trials, and despair. Hope does not disappoint us. God has already fulfilled promises. He will continue that. Jesus is the security of all our hope. The very fact that there was a small baby in a manger who grew up to be the Savior on a cross secures every bit of hope that you and I ever had of God. Because if he would give us his own son, what's he going to hold back from us now? Nothing. That's our hope. Hope springs forth into love. That's our hope expressed to each other. That's what hope is when we interact with each other, this love. In fact, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." It was love that motivated God to initiate Christmas, that first day of the celebration of Christ's birth. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." There's that hope of what is to come. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Because of our love for each other, we tell people both the good news and the bad news about Christmas. Yes, Jesus came. Why is that important? We needed a deliverer. And we must share that. That is something that love compels us to share during this time of year. Sure, it's not going to make for a lot of fun conversations at the Christmas feast family get-together. But it's the most important thing we could share. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. The love of God shines as a light in this dark world that deals with us in our gross, icky sinfulness. He said, "I'm going to come and dwell among you." That's love. That's love. Because love plays a vital role in the Christmas story. Think about this for a moment. What would Christmas be without love? Joseph finds out his bride-to-be is pregnant by another man. In that culture, she would have been taken out of town and stoned to death. We read the Christmas story. Oh, he was a good man and just wanted to divorce her quietly. Why? He loved Mary. He didn't want her to be put to death. And then there's Mary's love for the baby Jesus. I mean, other than just a mother's love for her baby, think about this. We would not hear the gospel story if Mary had not, as Luke put it, treasured these things up in her heart and thought about them. We wouldn't have been hearing about this story if she hadn't meditated on them. And then on top of that, the love of God for lost souls. The very reason, as we said earlier, that Christmas ever happened was because God loved the world so much that he gave his son. He sent his son amongst us. And that leads me to the fourth love that we need to discuss this morning. What about our love for each other? We cannot celebrate God's love for us without also celebrating God's love for other people, even ones that are unlovely. Let's be honest. There are times that we're all unlovely, right? Okay, maybe not you, just everybody else in the world. Let's be honest. That love is something that we share with one another. John, 1 John 4, 10 through 11 says this, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another." That ought to is a debt. We owe it to each other to love one another. Why? Because God loved each person enough to send his son to die for them. We cannot walk with Christ without love, and we cannot have Christmas, the Christmas story, without love. As Linus states in the Charlie Brown Christmas, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. This love that God gave us. Because Jesus is the ultimate embodiment of love. He said this, "Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." You know, I got to be honest. Everybody thinks Christmas is the time you got to go to church. I'd much rather have you show up at Easter, because that's the completion of the story. The baby in a manger, that's a wonderful scene. God coming among us. But the reason there was a baby in a manger is because there needed to be a Savior on a cross that loved us so much he's willing to die for us. He loved us that much. Jesus is the ultimate embodiment of love. Have you ever had somebody die for you? Anyone? Anyone? Other than our soldiers on the front lines, but somebody specifically for you with your name on their mind and heart say, "I'll die, sure." Anyone? Every Christian in this room ought to have your hands up. That's right. Our Savior did that just for us. The ultimate embodiment of love. That brought us peace. The love of God brought us peace with him. This is a time for peace. The way Isaiah describes it, Isaiah 40, 3 through 5, he says this, "A voice cries, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" Luke brings this up in Luke chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest. Those angels we just sang about singing, by the way, they just declared it. There's a whole bunch of things around Christmas that you could be like, I want to do a series, Christmas myths. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased." And then this, Isaiah says this, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." This Christmas season, this God in the flesh with us, this Emmanuel brings us peace. Personalize that last verse, by the way. "You keep me in perfect peace when my mind is stayed on you because you are my God and you are a faithful God." Man, if there's anything I want for Christmas this year, it would be peace. Not just in the world around us, although that would be nice, and not even just in my own home, just in my own heart. Some peace would be nice. That would be wonderful. Because here's the reality of it. No matter what we are doing, we are living with risk. We are living with challenges. We are living with things to be overcome. It doesn't feel like peace, but Jesus did bring about peace, and in the most unexpected ways when he arrived. The Jews, particularly the zealots of the time, they wanted peace, but by a rebellion. They wanted their Savior to overturn the oppressive rule of the Romans and bring about peace in a violent way. They thought he was going to come and bring a battle. Excuse me. Not only do we have peace that comes from our assurance of salvation, but we also have the peace of mind of knowing that God will heal this broken world and will come again. We have that peace. And there's a specific way this peace works, because there's a Hebrew word for peace, shalom. Anybody familiar with Jewish culture knows there's a greeting, shalom aleichem, peace to you, my brother. And it doesn't just mean that peace when everything is, you know, just chill, not fighting. No. This peace, this shalom, is wholeness. Things as they should be. Things as they were meant to be. In essence, it's how things are in heaven. When we experience peace, when we experience true shalom, we are getting a sense of heaven, a slice of it. So as we're sitting, for many of us, with loved ones, eating familiar foods, sharing the Christmas presents, watching a football game, just being chill, enjoying things as they were meant to be, not working, hopefully, just enjoying those moments, we are getting a slice of shalom, the wholeness God intends for us to have. See, peace, the peace of God, allows us to look at others through heaven's eyes and helps us to guide the world to see God's here and not yet here kingdom. Jesus brought us peace. Some of you are hungry for peace. You're upset at the world around you. You're nervous about it. You're panicked just by looking at the world around you. Let me tell you, the peace you're looking for will not come from a syringe, nor from any statute emplaced by man. It comes from a Savior. That is the only peace that will suffice. Those things might help in time, but only the Savior brings the ultimate peace that we are all longing for. That's one of the beautiful gifts of Christmas, that we have peace of God and peace with God. That peace springs forth and gives us opportunity for joy. I mean, if we Christians don't celebrate on Christmas, something's wrong with you. This is the time we should be celebrating most. It's the birthday of our King. It's when hope sprung forth. Look at how Matthew says this. Matthew 2, 10 through 11 says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." This is the Magi, the wise men. "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Notice, they didn't just rejoice, they responded in an act of generosity. By the way, that is what spawns us to give gifts to each other on Christmas. We are celebrating something worth giving things to one another to commemorate this joyous occasion. It is joy. They rejoiced. Biblical joy goes far beyond our circumstances, by the way. We don't just rejoice when things are happy. It's beyond momentary happiness. Now, when the children gather around the Christmas tree and they open those presents and they start to see some of their Christmas wish list showing up, that's happiness, because in about 10 minutes, they're going to be playing with a box. That's happiness. Joy exceeds our situation, exceeds our moment. It doesn't come from our jobs, our family, our relationship, our finances, or our successes. Our joy doesn't come from what we have on earth or who we are with. Our joy is a gift. It's a gift that God gave us that first Christmas in Jesus Christ. Our joy is encompassed in our Savior, King Jesus. My prayer for you this Christmas is that God would flood your hearts with joy during this Advent season as we reflect on the good news of Jesus' birth. Joy is an extreme happiness that cannot be deterred by present circumstances. That type of joy comes from God alone. Your circumstances may not be happy. You can still have joy in the midst of it. So while we wait for Christ to come again, we don't need to despair. God has given us a joy that no one can take away. No matter what happens in this dark world, we can experience the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We have joy in this time. He is still a good God. We experience difficulties differently than the world. Let me be very clear. Our joy is not because we don't experience difficulties. Oh, we Christians experience probably more difficulties than anyone else. But we experience difficulties differently. We have the joy of the hope of knowing that there's a loving God who has made peace in us and with us so we can rejoice no matter what. Sure. So if you look at this Christmas wreath, which, by the way, is made from evergreen, and it's in the shape of a circle. You see the same thing over there. This is actually a representation of eternal life. The evergreen trees, other than the larch tree, if it has needles, it's going to be green throughout the year. It represents eternal life. A circle has no end. And each candle represents the hope, love, peace, and joy of Christmas. But you'll notice there's an unlit major candle right in the middle. I'm looking forward to lighting that one on Christmas Eve. That's the Christ candle. The only reason these candles have any meaning is because of that one right there. Without that one right there, none of these are anything other than a nice decoration. This Christmas, the one that is most important is Christ. By the way, maybe you've seen the sign or said the phrase, "Keep Christ in Christmas." This is your annual reminder that when people have X for Xmas, that's the beginning of Christ's name in Greek, key, and that is Christmas. It's not getting him out of Christmas. I'm more concerned about keeping Christians in church than keeping Christ in Christmas. Yes, we need Christ in Christmas. But my friends, we need to be gathering together for this. He is worth our celebrating his birth. Just listen to this. It's a rather long passage, but well worth reading. If you want to know why Christ is so important. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet, the world didn't know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the ultimate gift, the greatest gift. He brings us hope, love, peace, and joy. Christ. Jesus is the answer to millennia of hoping for a deliverer. He is the ultimate embodiment of self-sacrificial love. He is the only source of wholeness, of shalom, peace. Jesus is the perpetual source of our joy that will last not just for Christmas Day, but every day. Christ steps down into darkness to light the world. Because of him, we can be a light to others, showing them the meaning of Christmas. Jesus is the light of the world, the greatest gift.
Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift
comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of change. Praise be to God for his inexpressible gift. Pray with me. God and Father, thank you for your Son whose kingdom is forever. We sing hallelujah. May this Christmas our hearts be focused on you. May we truly celebrate the goodness of your gift, the supreme goodness. May that be on our hearts and on our minds. Everything else, may that simply be the frills on the side. And may our hearts be centered on you. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. And so with that light, may your Christmas be bright, and I hope to see you all on Christmas Eve night.